Concerning our text, which is the verse 9, and the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord, Hosanna in the highest. Concerning this text, we have already this morning noted the arrival of the Savior. Concerning the arrival of the Savior, we noted the significance of it. The 10th day, 4 days before the Passover, the very day in which the Lamb was chosen out of the flock and presented to the people to be used in sacrifice to celebrate the Passover. We noted the singularity of his arrival because there had never been an arrival of the Lord Jesus in Jerusalem like this before. It was indeed unique. We noted the simplicity of his arrival. He did not come riding upon a horse, a white steed, or riding in a chariot. Whenever the Queen goes through the streets of London on official occasion, she rides in a beautiful golden carriage. It's quite a spectacle. And here's the King of Kings, and he comes into Jerusalem riding upon the colt of an ass, all so simple and plain. And again, focusing our attention upon his mission and his meekness and his majesty. And then we more or less finished this morning by looking at the scripturalness of his arrival, because it was in accordance to the word of the prophet Zechariah. Zechariah 9 and verse 9. Now this evening we want to look at how the Lord was exalted and how they acclaimed him as he entered Jerusalem. The Lord rode into Jerusalem, and we're told a very great multitude followed him. Many came out to look upon him. And as he passes through the streets, they shout, Hosanna to the Son of David. We have the procession. Verse 9 again tells us, and the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. The Lord Jesus was in the midst. The multitudes went before, and the multitudes came behind, and Christ was in the center of it all. He was the center of attraction. All glory and praise was given to him. And as Rutherford said in his hymn, the Lamb is all the glory in Emmanuel's land. May the Lamb be all the glory in our lives. May the Lamb be the glory in this place. We know that the procession, now let us consider the preparation. When the disciples brought the beasts of burden to the Lord, we must take note of what they did. We're told in verse 7 that the disciples brought the ass and the colt and put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon. Now here the disciples took off their outer garments, their cloaks, and they placed these cloaks upon the backs of the two animals. Then they placed the Lord, set him on the back of one of the beasts, and no doubt along the procession somewhere they placed him on the back of the other animal, because he most definitely rode the two animals into Jerusalem. But the disciples placed their garments upon the two animals. And what did the multitude do? We're told in verse 8, and a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Now here we have the disciples, they take off their outer garments, they place them on the backs of the animals and set the Lord then upon the colt of an ass. The multitudes take off their outer garments and they spread their garments in the way as the Lord went through the streets of Jerusalem. And those perhaps who did not have on that day any outer garments, what did they do? They cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way. So here is the preparation. The preparation that the disciples made and the multitudes made for the Lord's procession through the streets of Jerusalem. What lesson then can we glean from this? Well, what the people had and what the disciples had, they put these things down at his feet. In their worship of God, in their exaltation of Christ, what they had that day, they cast at his feet. The disciples put their garments under Christ. The multitudes put their garments under Christ. They put them down at his feet. And dear Christian, for us to exalt the Lord in our lives, we must put everything at the feet of Jesus. That's how to live a Christ-glorifying life. That's what it is, to live the surrendered life, casting everything at the feet of Christ, putting everything under Him. Christ must be above everything that we have. And what we are, Christ must be above all things. Remember, Mary anointed the Lord's feet and wiped his feet with her hair, John 12 and 3. You remember the woman of the streets who came into the house of Simon the leper, or Simon the Pharisee, and washed the Lord's feet with her tears. She washed his feet, Mary wiped his feet, and you remember in the resurrection morning, as the Lord left the sepulchre, he met the woman. And we are told that they fell down at his feet and worshipped him. That's our place. Down at the feet of Jesus. If we want to lift him up, if we want to exalt him, extol him, then we must be at his feet. And all that we have must be at his feet. So the multitudes and the disciples took their clothes, their garments, from their backs and cast them at his feet. It says of those who cut the branches from the trees that they strawed them in the way. The word translated strawed is the same as the word spread. It's translated another way. In another place, turn to Mark 14. And I find this most interesting. Mark chapter 14. And the Lord Jesus is preparing to eat the Passover with his disciples. And verse 13 of Mark 14. Verse 13, and he sendeth forth two of his disciples, and saith unto them, go ye into the city, and there shall meet you a man bearing a pitcher of water, follow him. And wheresoever he shall go in, say ye to the good man of the house, the master saith, where is the guest chamber, where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? Verse 15, "And he will show you a large upper room furnished and prepared, there make ready for us." The word strawed in Matthew 21 is translated in Mark 14, verse 15, furnished. Same word, only here it is translated furnished. Luke 22, verse 12, a large upper room furnished. Why do we furnish our rooms? It is, of course, to beautify the room, to make the room look better. And here we have those who cut down the branches and strawed them in the way, and then they engaged in singing and shouting and crying the words, "Hosanna to the Son of David." It all has to do with the exaltation of Christ. When we come to magnify the Lord and to glorify the Lord, we do it in such a way that brings glory to the Lord, beautifies our worship of Him. Something else. Whenever we put furniture into a room, we don't put it just any old way. We will place the chairs in a certain place, and maybe a coffee table in a certain place, and the seats in a certain place. It's all done according to order. So we learn from this that those who cut down the branches and strawed them in the way, they did so to beautify their worship of the Lord, and also they did it, they strawed the branches in an orderly fashion. And when it comes to magnifying and glorifying God, order glorifies God. The Lord is not the God of confusion. He's the God of order. And order glorifies God. Discipline glorifies God. When things are done decently and in order, that glorifies God. And so we have here the thought of the worshippers taking these branches and placing them carefully in the road. Not just throwing them any old way. Placing them carefully in the road. Placing them in order to beautify that pathway into Jerusalem. May we do the same. May our worship always be according to order. Notice their praise. They cried, "Hosanna to the Son of David," as they cast their garments and their branches before Him. It's interesting that this is what the Israelites did at the Feast of Tabernacles, in token of liberty, victory, and joy. It is no coincidence then that as the Lord Jesus was making His way to Jerusalem, that some of the people in the multitudes that lined the streets and followed Him took branches and cast them in the way. Because of those branches speak and spoke to the Israelite and would speak to us through God's word today of liberty. And would speak to us of victory and speak to us of joy. Then how appropriate that branches were strawed in the way as the Lord Jesus went to the cross. Because His going to the cross and His dying there meant liberty for us. It meant victory for us. And it meant joy. And we have tonight liberty in Christ. We have victory in Christ. We have joy in Christ. So it was no coincidence that they cast the branches down at his feet as it spoke of liberty and victory and joy. Nothing's done by chance. Nothing is included in the Scriptures by chance. It's all there. Once again, all points us to Christ. Now, what was it they cried? Whenever, and we all know that it was the practice of the Jews that when they would go up to Jerusalem for the Passover, they would sing psalms as they would go. It helped to shorten the journey. It helped to prepare their hearts and their minds to celebrate the Passover feast and to remember the great night of victory and liberty there in Egypt. And on this occasion, as they were making their way into Jerusalem, following the Lord, accompanying him into the city, they cried, Hosanna to the Son of David. These words are taken from Psalm 118, verses 25 and 26. So they quoted the Psalm 118, as they praised the Lord on their way into Jerusalem. Let's take the word Hosanna. The word Hosanna is a Greek modification of a Hebrew phrase. The word Hosanna means, save now, we pray thee. That's what the word Hosanna means. It means, save now, we pray thee. Their praise was actually a prayer. That's what the word Hosanna means. It means, save now, we pray thee. How appropriate once more that they should be singing about salvation. That they should be crying out to the Lord Jesus, save now. This is our prayer, save now. And of course, the words of prayer became words of praise. But once more we think of the Lord Jesus and he's going to that place called Calvary where he would be our Savior. Where indeed he would go to save. No wonder they cried, Hosanna. Isn't it? Looking from the outside, as it were, isn't it amazing? All in the purpose of God, in the counsels of God, of course. But isn't it amazing that the multitudes followed the Lord, they went into Jerusalem, should choose to sing from Psalm 118. That they should take words out of Psalm 118 and use them to praise the Lord Jesus as he made his way into Jerusalem and later as he made his way to Calvary. God is sovereign. Can't understand people today that can't see it and don't believe it. Don't believe in a sovereign God. Well, my, we have multiplied examples of the sovereignty of God in this one passage of Scripture. But there's something else about the word Hosanna. It is no coincidence that the word Hosanna comes from the same root word where we get the name Jesus. Comes from the same word that the name Jesus comes from. What did the angel tell Joseph? Thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. And whether the people knew it or not, they were exalting the Savior that day. The one who had come into the world to seek and to save the lost. Let us now consider the attraction. They acclaimed the Lord, and we have seen his arrival. Now we notice the attraction. The Lord Jesus was the center of attraction. When they cried, Hosanna in the highest. We said this morning they were thanking God for the Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, let us consider the commotion. We read in verse 10, and when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? Here we have the commotion. When he arrived in Jerusalem, every eye was upon him. Some were moved with wonder at the novelty of the occasion. Some were moved, perhaps, to laughter at the meanness of the occasion, seeing this stranger of Galilee riding upon the colt of an ass. Others we know were moved with indignation. O Pharisees and the scribes and the chief priests were filled with indignation. That's how they were moved. And perhaps others were moved with joy, those who had waited for the consolation of Israel. Whenever the Lord Jesus was presented to the people that day, many of them were moved in different ways. And here we have a great gospel truth. That whenever Jesus Christ is presented in the gospel, people are moved. Some are moved to receive him. Others are moved to reject him. Still others are moved to pour scorn on him and his gospel. And others are moved with indignation. Like Naaman, when he was told to go and wash in Jordan 7 times, he was filled with wrath. There's been many a man, woman, who's heard the gospel and heard of Jesus Christ, and upon hearing it, they have been filled with indignation, moved with wrath. And then we have the challenge. And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved. There's the commotion. Here's the challenge. They said, who is this? People in the city, seeing the great procession of people, the multitude coming, hearing them cry, Hosanna to the Son of David, those within the city were prompted to say, "Who is this?" And they challenged the multitudes, wanted to know, "Who is this person?" Now these words speak to me of two things. First of all, they speak to me of ignorance. Ignorance on the part of those who asked the question. They were ignorant as to the identity of Jesus Christ. There are many today, and they're ignorant of Christ. Many in this town tonight, and they're ignorant. They don't know who Jesus Christ is. They don't know He's the Savior of men. They don't know that He could be their Savior. They are ignorant and they cry out with this crowd, "Who is this?" So we see their ignorance and we see their inquiry. They inquired, "Who is this?" And all that men and women tonight who are ignorant of Jesus Christ would inquire after Him. Oh, that they would inquire after Him and say, "Who is this? Tell me more about Jesus. More of His saving fullness, no. More of His grace to others, show. Tell me more about Jesus." Next, we notice their confession. Verse 11. And the multitude said, "This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee." Whenever we look and examine the confession, the words that came from the lips of the multitude, you know what they confess to? They acknowledge the three offices of Christ. Christ holds the office of prophet, priest, and king. Now, whenever the people said, "Who is this?" the multitude said, "This is Jesus the prophet." So they acknowledged Jesus Christ to be a prophet. That's one of the offices that Christ holds. He's the prophet. He's also a priest. By the fact that they cried, "Hosanna," which means, "Save now, we pray." That's the work of the priest. That refers to his priestly work, his work of sacrifice. And when they cried, "Hosanna to the Son of David," they were making reference to his royalty. And it was in fulfillment of the words of the prophet Zechariah, verse 5, "Tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold thy king." Why isn't this just one wonderful book? The people probably didn't know it as they gathered that day at Jerusalem and cried, "Hosanna to the Son of David." They didn't know that they were confessing to the fact that Jesus Christ was prophet, priest, and king. Then we notice something else. We notice the children. The Lord Jesus, whenever He arrived in Jerusalem, we are told that He went into the temple of God. And here's the Lord at the very height of His popularity, if you want to use that term. He's at the height of His popularity. Multitudes. had been with him as he entered Jerusalem. And he goes into the temple of God, and he casts out all them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. If the Lord Jesus, or rather if it had been a politician wouldn't have done that at the height of his popularity. He wouldn't want to have turned over the tables and cast out the money changers. No, he'd have lost a few votes. That didn't matter to the Lord. The Lord cared about the temple of God. The Lord cared about the house of God. The Lord cared about the honor and the glory of his Father. There's a lesson. Let us always put the Lord first, whatever the world thinks about us. So he went into the temple, and he cast out the money changers, and overthrew their tables, and removed their seats. Notice that. He removed their seats. In other words, by removing their seats, he was saying, there's no place for your business here. And then we're told in verse 14, and the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. And when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, the same words that the multitudes were crying outside the temple. The children were crying the same words inside the temple. Now read to the end of that verse. The children crying in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were sore displeased. That is the chief priests and scribes. Two things we want to notice about the children. We want to notice, first of all, their stand. The chief priests and the scribes detested the Lord. We're told they were filled with indignation. They were filled with anger. The word displeased means to feel a violent irritation. They were violently irritated. The word is used to describe wine whenever it is fermenting. You get the picture. And the people, the scribes and the Pharisees, were irritated. And of course they were plotting and planning all the time how they might lay hold of Christ and have him removed and put to death. Now, in the temple, with this irritation amongst the scribes and the chief priests, in the midst of their displeasure and their anger, we hear the sweet voices of the children crying, Hosanna to the Son of David. We commend the children for their stand. Whatever the chief priests and the scribes said, however they felt towards the Lord Jesus, bless the children. Bless the children that day. They went on singing, Hosanna to the Son of David. I'm reminded of the ministry of George Whitefield. George Whitefield preached as we know, up and down the length and breadth of England. And whenever we preach in London, in Moorsfield, in other places in London, people would gather and they would cast mud at him and throw stones at him. But there was always a group of children standing around Whitfield's feet, standing around the pulpit. Many of the children were hurt with the flying stones and mud, but they remained there. And Whitfield often remarked how bravely the children stood and received the word when others were casting stones at God's servants. Thank God for the children. Thank God for the children that stood that day in the temple. The old hypocritical Pharisees and chief priests and scribes, boiling with indignation. The children went on singing, "Hosanna to the Son of David." Now let's remember what the word Hosanna means. It means, "Save now, we pray thee." It is a word that has to do with prayer as well as praise. So we have then the stand of the children. Here we have the song of the children. And the song is really a prayer. So here we have the children in the temple, and what are they actually doing? They're actually praying. And when they cried those words, "Hosanna, Hosanna to the Son of David," they were really praying, "Save, we pray thee." Martin Luther, during the days of the Reformation, was greatly encouraged. It was on one of those occasions when he was low in spirits. Wondered how the Reformation would go. He was encouraged when he found out that children were meeting together for prayer. Children were holding prayer meetings. Luther said to one of his companions, he says, "It's all right now. God will hear them. The devil cannot defeat us now because the children are praying." Thank God for the children. The children were praying in the temple that day. The children were praising in the temple that day. "Hosanna to the Son of David." And I want you to notice what it says in verse 16. The scribes, the chief priests, said to the Lord, "Hearest thou what these say?" And Jesus saith unto them, "Yea, have ye never read, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise?" The Lord accepted. And the Lord received the prayers. Yet so many today, when it comes to spiritual things, despise children. A child makes a profession of faith, and some old unbelieving saint says, "Ah, it's only a child." The Lord accepted the words and received the words that came from the lips of children that day in the temple. People who say, oh, it's only a child, they don't know the Lord. They don't know who the Lord is. They know nothing about the heart of the Lord, or the mind of Christ. The Lord Jesus, you know, took the children up in his arms and blessed. Luther says, the Reformation's all right now if the children are praying. God will hear them. And then, one final thought. I cannot help but think of the cry. Our text again, the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. The multitudes cried. If you were to turn to Luke's Gospel 23, in the first verse we have the multitudes mentioned again. And in Luke 23, and the whole multitude of them arose and led him on to Pilate. And if you were to go down to verse 18, we're told that the multitude cried again. And they cried out all at once, saying, away with him. You go down to verse 21. And they cried, saying, crucify him. Crucify him. Was the multitude in Luke 23 made up of the same people in Matthew 21? The same people who just 4 days before had been crying, Hosanna to the Son of David. 4 days later, we're crying, crucify him. Crucify him. This shows how fickle men are. So we have the multitudes mentioned here and the cries of the multitudes. In which multitude do we stand? We surely stand tonight with those who cried, Hosanna to the Son of David. But there's a multitude of people out there tonight, and their cry is, away with him. Their cry is, crucify him. May the Lord bless the study of this passage to our hearts tonight.